This is CliffCentral.com.
Hi there, it's Michael Kahn here, and I'm in studio at the CX Innovation and Tech Fest with Brett Lindsay. We are talking about innovation around customer experience and the disruption thereof. How are you, Brett?
I'm well, Mike. How are you doing? That was a very formal start to a Futurology podcast.
It was.
And when you say studio, it's very loosely interpreted as a big auditorium at the Maslow.
Fantastic, though, isn't it? They've given us a whole auditorium. I feel quite special. But Brett, it's been a fantastic 2 days here.
It really has.
And, you know, this is an introduction to all of our guest speakers who have joined us in our makeshift studio, our outside broadcast.
Yep.
And how have you found it, Brett?
It's really insightful. I like the fact that there's a lot of local speakers.
Yes.
All sharing case studies and use cases from local businesses doing things to impact the customer service area within our country.
100%.
And it's great to see that. I mean, we've always known South Africa is a great hotspot for innovation. And it's great to have innovation, but it's another thing to execute it and put it into the workplace. And
absolutely.
There's great things happening in South Africa. So that's encouraging.
And inspiring. But it's also been quite interesting listening to a lot of the comments in the audience. It's really interesting to see a lot of the challenges people are facing around innovation and this world of disruption with technology.
Yeah.
Which is really what we're doing here. It's really about the inspiring part of what we offer as a podcast, as an organization.
For sure.
Getting into organizations and inspiring people to shift their thinking around that.
Yeah, so rather than being afraid of the future, start embracing the possibilities around that change.
Absolutely.
And it's really cool. The great thing about customer experience as a focus is that it's about the people again.
100%. Absolutely.
It's not technology-led. It's not all these things that are sometimes too big to understand or comprehend. It comes down to the person. It comes down to a real need with real people.
Absolutely.
And we can inspire that change to say, don't fear, embrace that change. Let's go.
Absolutely, which is critical. But Brett, do you want to just give us a very brief introduction to what this is all about?
Cool. So in short, it's the CX Innovation and Tech Fest, where they celebrate people, technology, ideas, and innovations that are literally transforming the way businesses make and keep customers. That's the important thing. So it's one thing to get them, but how do you retain them?
Absolutely.
And it's around service. And what is the big talk around CX and what are we doing innovatively? What are we doing things? But it comes down to the fact that we know the world is changing.
Absolutely.
Customers are more demanding. Customer loyalty is decreasing. New technologies are constantly emerging. And it's how do you get your market share? As a business that has a huge consumer base, how do you get that market share? How do you attract them? How do you keep them? How do you seduce them to stay with you or even come across from the dark side? And you've got to make sure that it's the USP that you start to have is around customer experience and the customer service. It's not so much low-cost pricing anymore. It's not high-quality product. It's what is your brand? What is the combination of all of that?
Absolutely.
And there's great discussion happening here at this. And it's round about how technology has become an essential tool to enable a shift in thinking with businesses to move more into a CX way of life. And, it's really great to see it happening here in Johannesburg.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy this podcast. What we have done is we've changed the format here. So please download this podcast. And the rest of the CX podcasts are available on our Futurology homepage on Cliff Central.
Yeah, and if you want to follow us on Twitter, we have a Twitter handle at Futurology Show. And you can tweet us as much as you like. And we'll be tweeting out some of the shows as well. So follow
Absolutely.
Us.
Fantastic. Enjoy. We've just had a fascinating chat, Brett,
from
a Mr. Andrew Foster. Welcome, Andrew.
How are you guys?
Excellent. Yeah, cannot complain. Andrew, you're an ex-South African living in the UK.
I'm always a South African. How can you call me an ex? Well, I'm just a South African that doesn't live here anymore.
Okay, all right. I apologize. I was going to apologize for you having to live in the UK.
Yeah, there is that.
Where do you stay in the UK?
I live in Surrey. I've been there for 20 years.
Yeah?
So I haven't lost the accent, though.
No,
that's one of my marks of, you know, I am a true South African and the Pommies have to put up with me.
Say Braai.
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 Okay. Amen.
Okay. All right, put. Cool. We're good to go.
Ek rol my erne.
What are you? Tell us about yourself, Andrew. Let's just jump straight into this because that was a fantastic presentation.
Thank you very much. So I am a professional shit stirrer.
Okay.
My wife refused to let me put that on my business card, though. So my business card says...
You're not a very good shit stirrer, are you?
but you know...
You got to watch it with a wife.
You've got to know who's boss.
And I did like the title of your talk, Do You Really Know Who I Am?
No, that's tomorrow's talk.
Is that tomorrow's talk?
Yeah, tomorrow's is Do You Really Know Who I Am? So you're in for another whole session tomorrow. Fantastic. All about me. Then you can really get to know me.
Right,
but
okay.
Yeah, so here's
the precursor to tomorrow.
That's it. I bill myself as an innovation catalyst.
Yes.
And that's specifically vague, so that people have to say, what is that?
Yes.
You know, so, and what it is I ignite innovation initiatives. I try and stir things up. And I do that by tracking tips, technologies, innovations, patents, and startups.
Wonderful.
So I'm a trend tracker, and I get loads and loads of insight from analysts and researchers and really smart people at events like this.
Yes.
And I just pull them all together, and I tell stories to people. Beautiful. And those stories will most often spark some idea in them, and then I fan the flames and I go, that's fantastic, and what about
fantastic. And
so that's what I do.
Excellent. Well, one thing that I noticed about you off the bat, and it's a radio show, it's a very audio focused thing, and I'm noticing that you're wearing a QR code on your shirt, and this is all about customer experience, making things easier for the user experience and stuff. How is that working for you, having a QR code on your T-shirt?
So the QR code is quite specific because I'm trying to gain Twitter followers.
Ah.
And a Twitter app has a built-in QR code scanner, if you didn't know that. And the latest iPhones from 7 up, you don't even have to open the Twitter app itself. You can just open up the camera app, and the camera app will automatically recognize QR codes.
Brilliant.
And it will go to the destination.
Excellent.
And the reason why I do that is, although here in South Africa you all understand that Forster is a surname,
yes,
right, and it's spelled with a V, anywhere outside of South Africa, Andrew Forster, people never know how to spell my name.
Yep.
So they can't find me on Twitter. So now I make it easy for them, and I just say, scan me, and bang,
great
straight to my Twitter profile.
Straight on your T-shirt.
That's exactly what I'm aiming
for. I've just scanned Andrew Forster. So very
brilliant.
Good. But now listen.
Just hold on. If you're listening, we can't see your QR code.
Yeah.
So if you are wanting to get Twitter followers, how do we follow you on Twitter?
I'm at Andrew Forster, and that is spelled AndrewVorster.
.com.
Cool.
That's me.
Let's dig into the talks.
Fantastic. I'm just adding your URL there. Sorry.
Brilliant.
Andrewforster.com. Same thing. So let's dig into the talk. I mean, you spoke about the 6 E's. Let's have a chat about the 6 E's, because this is all about customer experience. The customer is evolving. Exponential technology is redefining how things are actually working. So everything is changing.
Yep.
And everything has changed, and it's about to change again.
And it's constantly changing. So, I mean, the 6 E's, you've always got to have some marketing fluff, right? So I had to have the 6 E's of customer experience.
Yeah.
Alliterates, it rhymes nicely. And I kicked off with the future of customer experience is connected. Now, of course, everybody listening will be familiar with the Internet of Things, but my intention behind that bit was, I don't think people quite realize the extent to which the Internet of Things can transform the customer experience.
Exactly. Tell us about panties and condoms.
Well, you know, if you don't understand why there is such a thing as a connected condom, then clearly you have no concept of data collection for performance management. So then we shouldn't be talking about that.
Brett's blushing a bit. Are you all right there, Brett?
No time for connected condoms. Come on.
No time for connected. You know what? That's really a bad thing, because let's just move on. He has no performance problems, because it doesn't sound like there's too much performance going on. Anyway.
And we'll gloss over the panties. I'll leave that up to your imagination as to how the customer experience could be.
Satisfaction poll results.
Yes. Chantal Buerta was squirming a little bit in the back end of the room there.
Oh, shame. She's on later. So we'll ask her about connected.
I've got to see that.
But the point that you made is that some things are connected, and some things should be connected, and some things maybe not so much.
Yeah, there were some. There are some weird things, and I've come across some weird things beforehand. Connected water bottles. Why the hell do I need a bottle to tell me how much water I've drunk? I just look at the damn thing. But there are, you know, I can see the use cases that come out. If you go to CES, the whole place is IoT. Everything's becoming connected. But I was really, really fascinated about the whole smart labels concept of smart clothing, which is why I showed that Avery Dennison video. I mean, they've imagined this entire ecosystem that that's enabled by having smart tags, smart labels in your clothes that they get to know their customers better, then they can, their customers can share the clothing items in terms of the concepts, that kind of thing. And then they, you know, they're using it to drive loyalty and then also to drive the circular economy, to prompt people to recycle, give them rewards if they recycle or donate the clothing and that kind of thing. And so it goes on and so it goes on. And I think that we're only at the beginning of envisaging what smart products can actually deliver in terms of a customer experience.
Absolutely, because it really comes down to the data that comes out of those smart products, isn't it?
So I always tell people the Internet of Things has nothing to do with the Internet or the things. The Internet of Things is all about the data.
The data.
That's the goal that you're always looking for.
Absolutely.
And with the amount of data that is coming specifically out of the Internet of Things and the industrial Internet of Things, and our cars, our homes, our factories, our workplaces, that kind of thing, that led was a good segue into the next C, which was cognitive.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, we need to throw compute power at trying to make sense of all of this data. We've got huge amounts of data and trying to make sense of it all to personalize our products, to drive better customer experiences. We need help. We can't do that by ourselves. So we've got this rise in AI adoption in so many different places. And I touched on a number of things in there about, you know, how AI, is it going to take our jobs or is it going to be our best friend to help us to do our jobs better? And I'm one of those, you know, I'm always coming down on the positive side a lot and I'm going, embrace AI. And look at how you can use AI, whether it's for your own employees to deliver better customer experiences, whether it can be your first point of contact for employees, whether it can be interfacing directly with your customers. I think that, and AI, you know, I'm not looking at the moment, maybe I'm just naive, at the imminent rise of sentient machines. Yeah, I am astonished.
Skynet is coming.
Well, yeah, I am astonished at the rate at which machines are getting closer to what mimics humans. Mm.
Yes.
But let's be perfectly honest. We have no clue how our own brains work. No clue. And thinking or hoping that a machine is going to figure out how our brains work so that they can work like us. And as a matter of fact, maybe it's better if they don't, because we're pretty flawed things in the first place.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm a little bit on the side of, yes, machines are getting incredibly smart and they can mimic humans. But I've got I ran a session at Money 2020 around AI in financial services. And one of the people on my session was from an insurance company. And they use an AI to determine your payout on a claim.
Yes.
And they said one of their biggest things that they are building and that they are trying to get better and better and better is building empathy into their AI.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't appear to be a human, it doesn't appear to be a robot. Because the last thing, if you've just suffered a loss of something, you know, that could be something, a physical item that you've lost, or something like that. It's deeply personal. You're quite emotional when you go and submit a claim. And you get online and you hit a chatbot. That's not going to be a great customer experience.
They're
constantly training their chatbot, their AI, to be more, to show more empathy.
So emotional counselors might still be safe from some sort of...
Well, I think, you know, all sorts of philosophers, people who will train AIs like you would train a human child.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And it's an interesting one because it's something brands do need to adopt, you know, and you cannot be scared of it. I mean, it's interesting and you're right. I'm fascinated by this world of AI and how we think and consciousness, because the next time a brain actually thinks, it'll be the first time. Yeah, you know, it's our mind that thinks, not the brain that thinks.
Yeah.
And it just shows you the depth of our lack of understanding around this in general. But yeah, it makes it a really, really interesting space for us to move into. And this whole thought of, you know, we've got to think of feelings as a thought process as opposed to a feeling and as opposed to emotion. Brett's jumping up and down.
I mean, other things, we went through a great talk and we've only got a fraction of the time to discuss all of these things, but you spoke about ads where humans not need apply for jobs that are coming up in the future. We're speaking about feelings because ultimately people are the things that inhabit this planet. We just happen to be making these tools that help us.
Yeah.
one thing was not just customer experience, but employee experience. And the impact behind that was wild.
So a key, that was a massive stat that came out of SAP. In their 2016 report, they published a statistic where they have been quantifying the impact of change on their employee experience. So they've got a thing that they call the Business Health Culture Index, BHCI. And they have determined empirically that a 1% change in the BHI score of their employees results in an 80 to 90 million euro impact on operating revenue per year.
Oh, wow. Well,
that is an astonishingly big number. That should cause everybody to sit up and take notice.
Well, you kind of wonder what they were doing with the Guptas in the first place then. Seriously. I mean, to make good business, you can do it properly by focusing on quality customer experiences, creating the right value. You don't have to do these disingenuous things. But this is all part of the conversation, which is your next C, isn't it?
Well, so just before I jump into the next C, there was one point that I wanted to make to do with the employee experience, and that is, I've got a question for everybody out there. All of this, the management in companies at the moment, and the higher up the chain you rise, the more training they would have gone on. They would have gone on management training, on finance training, on HR training, maybe even on communication training. How many of them go on CX training?
Yeah.
How many of the people that sit at the top table have actually gone to customer experience training that they can understand the impact and therefore the impact that their employee experience would have on the ultimate customer experience?
So the customer might not always be right in the new day and age, but their experience can always be amazing.
Their experience, even when you've got to say no to a customer, you've still got to do it in such a way that you don't damage that relationship
for sure.
With them. You've got to find a way of letting them down easily.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting, Andrew, because my background comes out of brand, and I did a lot of work in brand culture. And it's funny, as technology is going faster and faster and the change is driving, what is actually also happening is those things that always were relevant have stayed the same.
Yeah.
The quality of the customer
still
the employee experience. You can't change that.
Yeah, and I dropped in the Richard Branson quote, which went along the lines of, forget about your customer experience, look after your employees, and they will give your customers the experience they deserve.
Yep.
And that is so, if you've ever come into contact with any of Virgin's products, I mean, I'm a massive Virgin Airlines fan, and Virgin Airlines' experience in flying is significantly above a lot of the other airlines.
Seriously, they wanted to charge me R600 to get an extra length seat at the emergency exit. I think they're shocking.
So you need to take that up with Richard.
This is a bad
customer experience.
But it's a small thing, and you get on the plane and you see some shorty little chap sitting there at that seat, and you kind of go, why?
Because he had the R600.
Because he had the R600.
No one bought it. But anyway,
I think there's still the view of business principle. There's customer experience is wonderful.
Yeah.
But everybody, if you want experience has value. And I think a lot of people are placing more value in the experience and are happy to pay the R600 for an extra length seat or for an enhanced experience.
It is a very good point.
Or I'm not prepared to pay the R600 and I bitch and moan about it for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And they've actually lost a very valuable client.
And in the Twitter sphere, if that just a thing around customer experience, if the Twitter sphere picks up on saying a complaint around a specific airlines, the customer experience of the competitor could be one where they come and say, well, we'll give you the upgraded seat. Why don't you come and join experience with us? And it's about experience.
Yeah, so interesting. What I was going to say was, did you try the celebrity style, do you know who I am? Which is the opening line of my tomorrow talk, actually. But it's the whole, that's clout scores used to be a big thing years ago, and everybody's going, your clout score where you can stand up and go, if you don't give me the experience that I believe I deserve, my followers are going to know about it because I'm an influencer. And Rant and Rave is now one of the companies that are doing that now in a big way. I'm a little bit skeptical about the actual actual, you know, the people on the ground, really, they don't give a shit because they've usually got a script that they're following.
Yeah,
and they just go, procedure says no. Procedure says no. What's important for brands, and when I talk about the employee experience, what's important for brands is to give those employees the ability to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
And if they look at you and they go, you know what, it's really not going to be worth our while getting the extra 600 rand for that seat, and is, as opposed to a really dissatisfied customer. Yeah, all the ranting,
exactly.
Or anything else. And to give that employee the discretion to be able to say, you know what?
You have it.
Over there. I mean, I've had shocking experiences with airlines that we could sit here for a long time.
Sure. That's not the discussion. So we're talking the six C's of customer experience with Andrew Forster on the back of your talk here at the CX Innovation Tech Fest. We've gone through connected, cognitive, and conversational points. We've got contextual, curated, and collaborative to get through in the skinny end of this interview.
No worries.
So after the once the conversation has started and we have curated media...
So we had contextual before curated.
Yes.
So
contextual
was all about moments that matter.
Yes.
That's what Google's big thing is all about, you know, the context. Make me an offer at the right place at the right time. Make sure that your brand is in the a moment that counts
for
me.
Who I am.
And know who I am. Yeah. So give me signposts. Show me how to do things.
Yeah.
Make my life easier. And Google is a big one on this with their context cards. If you've got an Android phone, you'll be very familiar with context cards. I went visited a mate recently, and we said, "Oh, you know, let's go out for a bite to eat." And he said, "Oh, I've heard about this new place just down the road. I'm just going to Google it quickly." So he had a look, and he went, "Oh, yeah, you know, it's less than a mile. We'll just have a quick walk over there." You see, so he had found the spot, and so we walked out of his flat. He's got an Android phone. As we got to the stairs and we walked onto the street, his phone flashed and buzzed in his pocket. So he picked it up, and it was a Google card, and it said, "It looks like you're going on the way to this restaurant. You know,
should
would you like to call Uber?"
Oh, wow.
So he went, no, and he just dismissed the card. And we walked about, just a couple of steps down, and his phone flashed again. He picked it up, and it said, "We noticed that you're walking towards a restaurant. A number 22 bus goes from this bus stop directly ahead of you and will take you 10 minutes to be able to get there. And would you like to make a reservation? Because according to statistics, it says it's really busy over here." Now, that's really injecting. That's making it contextual. And he was going, "Oh, yeah, actually, cool. I didn't even think of making a booking."
And if he didn't get on the bus and he didn't take the Uber, they probably would have said, "Well, we see you like walking. Would you like a nice, comfortable pair of shoes?"
Probably, yes. So contextual commerce, being engaged, right place, right time. It's all about that right message, right time. It's the holy grail of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get the customer when they're at their most receptive.
The power of persuasion at the point of decision?
There we go.
That's the one that I heard a while back, which is very cool.
Yeah, cool. So that, from contextual, it leads you onto the curation. And the curated is all about creating the experience.
Yes.
And I put up this a slide saying, you know, we are all experience collectors. I had actually snapped that photo when I was in Australia for the Australian version of this TechFest conference.
Yes.
And that was an advert for Hahn Beer where they were going, you know, we're all experience collectors. And it is the new badge of honor is experiences. It's not, you know, do I drive a flash car? Do I have great clothes? Do I have a big house? The badge of honor is, what have you experienced in life so far? You know, have you been a part of this experience? Whether that's a festival,
absolutely,
whether it's travel, whether it's an awesome customer experience, you know, it's the, you know, have you had a meal at this restaurant? It is insanely good and they've got the right ambience and that kind of a thing. So the whole curated bit is leading to this whole industry around creating Instagrammable interiors for shops and things like that, you know, retail experiences.
And I just want to reference back to your original point around the connected, because it's not just about social media in terms of this curated. If you're able to bring in your IoT frameworks, etc., you know, it adds to the quality of the experience, because again, curated is also about understanding the data that you're receiving and then actioning that data in the same way. So at the heart of all of your six points here really is how you're using data.
How you're using data. And
100%.
That's why tomorrow's is a separate session, because
it's
all about data. It's all about data.
Fantastic.
But, and then that finally comes on to the collaborative, which is all about nobody can create a fantastic experience by themselves these days. You have to collaborate in within an Absolutely. Ecosystem, and you've got to look out for those partners. Who are you going to collaborate with to join forces together and create a differentiating customer experience? And there's multiple ways, and I could do a whole session just on that.
I do like that you use the word ecosystem. The fact that it's not about the take. It's about how we give to each other as well within that space.
It's all participating within 100%. That, and there's fantastic examples.
Absolutely. So now you're jumping into data tomorrow. Sorry, I'm getting a bit carried away here. Tell us a bit about what it is, because this will only get released after you've done the talk. So I don't want to give the community here a bit of a heads up.
Yeah, so the data session is all about, it's called Do You Really Know Who I Am?
Yes.
And I start off with an anecdote about my dad, who used to use that expression quite a lot back when I was growing up in the 70s. He used to embarrass the hell out of me when he was standing in a bank or something. He'd go, "Do you know who I am?"
And was he quite famous?
No, not at all. That's the whole
He became
point
famous for asking who am I?
Yeah, geez, you know. But it was just his expectations. Yeah, everybody around him knew who he was, because he knew that was, if people knew who he was, they would give him a different level of service. Because even though he was only moderately successful, he sort of punched above his weight by doing people favors.
Yeah.
And he didn't see it as doing favors. He just saw it as he knew them very well and he could help them out in some ways.
Fantastic.
So therefore they would help him out in return. But sometimes when the staff of those companies didn't know who he wasn't getting the service that he expected. Right. And then I go into a very personal story about a 6-month sabbatical that I took. And I talk all about the great things that I did, which is absolutely got sort of to do with customer experience, but there's one common thread the whole way through, and that is I spent shitloads of money. And which means that my bank has more data on me and knows me better than even my wife, because there's certain things that I've done that my wife should never see.
Or your
see
expectations
my
that they
about.
Should know you that well.
Yes.
Well, exactly.
Yes.
And then the whole punchline is the loyalty and rewards offer that they gave me at the end of it, which is so diametrically opposed to who I really am. So the audience gets a sense of who I really am. And I, you know, I'm a scuba diver. I'm an off-road motorbike rider. I love food and drink. I love EDM music. I took my girls to an EDM festival and introduced them to the concept of EDM. So I'm a massive raver. I did a long-distance motorbike drive. I did all these things, and the offer that gave me was clearly done via a market segmentation that says, this bloke's in his 50s, his kids have left home, he's fat, old, and lazy, and this is what we're going to offer him. And it was a completely crap offer. It destroyed my relationship. I've been with that bank for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it leaves you feeling emotionally like you've had a breakup, because you go, you should know me better than that, you know. And then I go on to explain some of the new models that are emerging around data brokering. Particularly in the EU, we've got a lot of pressure on GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, which also impacts you guys. If any company here in this country deals with anybody from the EU's data, they fall under GDPR.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making lots of people worried about what to do about GDPR. And you've got the rise of these data brokers in the middle saying, actually, give your data back to the customer and put it in a vault where the customer can then explicitly permission it back to you again.
Yeah, there's a lot around this.
There's a lot around that. And I talk around some of that, and then I touch on one of the things when you're dealing with data is this very fine line between creepy and cool.
Yeah.
Is how, you know, there is a level.
Is this where the condoms and the panties
go? No. That was today's session. There's completely different anecdotes to it. Well, depends on your perspective there. You know. There's,
But these guys here are blushing. Fantastic.
The discussions around customer experience are one that's going to keep going for a long while. And it's definitely something where businesses need to think of their strategy about what got their clients, not necessarily what's going to keep their clients.
Yeah.
And it's very cool that it's something that needs to keep iterating, improving. And once again, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
We'd love to have you back on the show. We wish you had more time. But we need to get back to the CX Innovation and Tech Fest here in Johannesburg. And Andrew Forster, thank you very much.
Great to meet you guys.
Excellent. Lovely. Thank you, Andrew.
All of the best.
Well, that was fun, Brett. I enjoyed that chat.
It really was.
Fantastic.
And that was just one interview of so many great speakers here at the CX and Innovation Tech Fest.
Absolutely.
So, if you liked this interview and you liked hearing all the thoughts and future explorations, then there's more.
There is. It's on the Futurology CX page.
Yes.
So please go and find those on there. Also on iTunes. And of course, if you want to be inspired within your organization, drop us a line, because what you've experienced here, we're quite happy to come and set up a framework within your organizations. Because the inspirational part of moving beyond the disruption and the challenge of technology is important to you. So thank you, Brett. I've enjoyed our time.
Thank you, Michael.
This is CliffCentral.com.